Please turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Genesis, chapter 5. Genesis, chapter 5, and I'll read at verse 23 through the end of the chapter. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years, and became the father of Lamech. And Methuselah lived 782 years after he became the father of Lamech, and he had other sons and daughters. And so all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years, and became the father of a son. Now he called his name Noah, saying, "This one shall give us rest from our work, and from the toil of our hands arising from the ground, which the Lord has cursed." Then Lamech lived 595 years after he became the father of Noah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah lived 500 years, and Noah became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. This morning we looked at the beginning of the fulfillment of God's promise given in the Garden of Eden concerning the two seeds of the woman. The seed of the serpent in the ungodly seed of Cain, the first eight generations recorded in Genesis chapter 4, verses 16 through 24. And then the seed of the woman, the godly seed of Seth in the first generations, beginning in chapter 4, verse 25, down through Genesis chapter 5. Two lines of descent, always at enmity with one another, according to the promise of the garden. From generation to generation, they come finally to their ultimate development and the clearest focus in who they are, in the men who lead them in the seventh generation from Adam. The progress of worldly ambition and its power, wealth, and vainglory comes to its highest point in the seventh generation from Adam, in the line of Cain, in the man named Lamech. While the line of godly seed comes to its highest point in the seventh generation from Adam as well, in Enoch. Both men are contemporaries of one another. And both men, if we use the word loosely, are prophets. Lamech is a prophet of the world, and Enoch is a prophet of God. In these genealogies, there is a Lamech in the genealogy of Cain, and there is another Lamech in the genealogy of Seth. And there is a Enoch in the genealogy of Cain, and an entirely different Enoch in the genealogy of Seth. So we have two men who have the same names, but they are entirely different men. Here, in regard to Lamech from Cain's descendants, we read of him in chapter 4, verse 19, "And Lamech took to himself two wives. The name of one was Adah, and the name of the other Zillah." And so Lamech is the first to violate God's creation ordinance of monogamous marriage, one man and one woman. And then we see his great boast down in verse 23 and 24. "And Lamech said to his wives, Adah and Zillah, listen to my voice, you wives of Lamech. Give heed to my speech, for I have killed a man for wounding me, and a boy for striking me. If Cain is avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. He speaks here as a tyrant. He commands his two wives to obey his voice, and then he gloats that he has killed a man. At the end of verse 24, he says, "For I have killed a man for wounding me, and a boy for striking me." And some think he speaks here of a double murder. That has killed both a man and a boy. The violence of Lamech that he boasted of here would increase until we come to Genesis chapter 6, before the flood, when the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. After Cain had killed his brother Abel, for the protection of Cain's life, God declared a sevenfold vengeance on any man who killed Cain. But here in verse 24, Lamech declares that if God has a sevenfold vengeance, then he is more powerful than God, and he will bring a 70-fold vengeance on any man who kills him. Lamech declares himself here to be invincible to death. And his form, his boast, is in the form of Hebrew poetry. And some think that it is, perhaps it was, a song, an impious song that was sung in that city of man, in the city of Enoch, and sung to the instruments of his son Tubal-Cain. In verse 25, he says, 24, if Cain is avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. When Cain murdered Abel, Cain tried to evade responsibility for it. But Lamech here, he boasts of what he has done. Cain pled for divine leniency, but Lamech rejects God's authority. And in this unbelieving line of Cain, they have rejected God, his rule, his judgment, and they have made themselves to be the final authority in all things. But at the same time that Lamech made his arrogant boast, God raised up a remarkable prophet in the man called Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam. In verse 24, chapter 5, and verse 24, at the same time as Lamech, then Enoch appears. And we read of him here in verse 24 that he walked with God, and he was not, for God took him up. But Enoch was God's prophet at this time, and his words of prophecy are recorded in the book of Jude, and we'll see that in Jude chapter 1, to the book of Jude, just before the book of Revelation, and we read in verses 14 and 15 of Jude. Verse 14, "And about these also Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all, and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Enoch speaks here as an inspired prophet of God. In the middle of verse 14, we are told that Enoch prophesied in the seventh generation from Adam. And as God's prophet, it is a most remarkable thing here that even from this early generation of the human race, the seventh generation from Adam, Enoch looks ahead to the very end of the world, and he warns of the coming day of judgment when the Lord himself, he speaks here of the Lord Jesus, when he will return in a glorious manner, in great power, with many thousands of his angels, and he will execute judgment upon all the ungodly for all that they have done and said against him. Enoch's words here were a warning to the ungodly, to the ungodly of his generation. And so Enoch spoke especially to the ungodly line of Cain and those who lived in that city of Enoch. And Enoch's prophecy here, he speaks in the past tense to emphasize the certainty of the Lord's coming. He says, "Behold, the Lord came," as if he has already come. The certainty of it, with many thousands of his holy ones, to execute judgment upon all the ungodly. This prophecy of Enoch was really an exposition of God's first promise in the garden concerning the Savior as the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. The seed of the woman was now the Lord who would come in the final judgment upon the human race. And this was now how the seed of the serpent would crush, the seed of the woman rather, the Savior would crush the head of the serpent. He would bring his judgment on all the ungodly of the earth. Lamech, the descendants of Cain, in their unbelief, they rejected any accountability to the Lord and any day of reckoning. And it all found its great expression in that boast of Lamech. But the Lord here raised up his prophet Enoch at that time to warn them of the coming appearance of the Lord the Savior. And the judgment which Enoch prophesied of had a precursory fulfillment in the great flood. But then it will have its final fulfillment when Jesus returns on the last day. Back in Genesis chapter 5, Genesis chapter 5, the conflict between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman had now come to its highest point in the seventh generation from Adam, in the boast of Lamech, and in the prophecy of Enoch. Two opposing views of life, one based on human autonomy that will not submit to the authority of God, and the other based on the promise of God looking to the Savior who will conquer sin and the devil and restore the world to righteousness again. Cain and his descendants are centered on the city of man. Their lives are built on human pride and human achievement. But Seth and his descendants are centered on the kingdom of God and the heavenly city and the grace and the salvation of God to come. Two conflicting worldviews in opposition to one another, epitomized in the boast of Lamech and in the prophecy of Enoch. Enoch was certainly not a private figure, hidden away somewhere, who no one knew. But he was God's prophet to the ancient world, And as God's prophet, he was a very public man, known to all, especially to the line of Cain and his descendants, to whom his words were especially addressed. And Lamech and the descendants of Cain, they would have despised, they would have mocked Enoch's prophecy of the coming of the Lord in his judgment upon them. But as they were mocking him, a most astonishing thing happened. Enoch was suddenly, miraculously taken up from the earth to heaven. Verse 24 tells us, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not found anymore on the earth, because God took him, God had taken him up in body and in soul in a supernatural ascension into heaven. A translation, a rapture from this world into the world above and to the throne of God himself. The only other man who escaped death, as Enoch did, was the prophet Elijah, nearly 2,500 years later. In the case of Elijah, he was taken up in a glorious spectacle, a chariot of fire with horses of fire descended and took Elijah up in a whirlwind into heaven. We are not told how Enoch was taken up, but we should not be surprised if it was in a very public, visible, and glorious manner, as it was with Elijah. Just as God wanted Enoch's prophecy to be a witness to the ancient world, he would have wanted his ascension to be so as well. And the reason why it is written here by Moses so many centuries later was perhaps because it was seen and known by so many that it became part of the oral tradition that was passed down from this time. Would God desire such a glorious work as the ascension of his great prophet from the ancient world to be hidden from the eyes of men? I think not. God said to Pharaoh, "For this very purpose I raised you up, to demonstrate my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth." And the same thing perhaps was true of Enoch, that the name of God would be proclaimed throughout the earth as the great prophet of God suddenly ascended into heaven above. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us a little more than what we read of here, and we'll turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. Now here the apostle adds two things that we do not read of in chapter 5 of Genesis. The second phrase there, so that he should not see death, that is added to what we read of in Genesis chapter 5. And then the next phrase as well, and he was not found. And he was not found is added because God took him up. Now that phrase, he was not found, there are two views to what those words mean. The first is that it refers to after Enoch ascended into heaven, that he was not found when men looked for him, just like with Elijah. Elijah was taken up, And for 3 days, the sons of the prophets, they searched for him on the mountains, they searched for him down in the valleys, and they could not find him. He was not found because he was no longer on the earth. And so the first view here is that the same took place with Enoch. When Enoch ascended, then men looked for him, but they could not find him, and he was not found anymore on the earth. The second view is that these words, "and he was not found," refers to men looking for him before his ascension. And the idea here is that Enoch was prophesying to the ungodly of his day of the coming judgment of the Lord upon them. And men from the ungodly line of Cain, such as Lamech, who boasted of their murders, they were searching for Enoch to put him to death. But in a supernatural deliverance, the Lord took him up out of the world so that they could not find him, and they could not put Enoch to death. Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. Which view is the correct view? I am not sure. It could be one, it could be the other, and it could be both. But it was a supernatural wonder of God in taking his prophet up from this world immediately into the world above to be with the Lord in glory. We look upon it as a marvelous thing. But the same thing will happen to us who believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. We shall ascend into heaven as well. We shall be taken up from this world into the world above. The only difference between Enoch and us is that our ascension must take place through death. Enoch took his body with him, and Enoch has a body of glory in heaven tonight. We must leave our bodies behind for a little while, but then we will have our body of glory in the resurrection and be like Enoch and our Lord Jesus forever. And I say that if we die before the Lord comes, but if those who are alive when the Lord comes, they shall ascend to be with the Lord, body and soul, just like Enoch. This is what Paul says, Philippians chapter 1, to depart and to be with Christ, that is very much better. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8, we are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Back in Genesis chapter 5, while Lamech made his great boast, and the descendants of Cain despised Enoch's prophecy of the coming judgment, suddenly Enoch was taken up in this supernatural ascension into heaven. They did not have modern communication as we do today, but surely the news of God's great prophet being taken suddenly up into heaven must have spread rapidly through that ancient world by word of mouth and sent shockwaves through the city of Enoch among the descendants of Cain. One day Enoch was prophesying of the coming of the Lord, And the next day the Lord came and took him up, a terror to those who lived ungodly. But to the godly seed of Seth, and to those who knew the Lord, Enoch's ascension was proof that there is life after this present world. And his ascension was a great comfort and a great hope to them. Elijah prophesied at a time of great apostasy in the land of Israel, and he was taken up. Enoch prophesied at a time of great apostasy in the ancient world, and he was taken up as well. And Enoch and Elijah, both in heaven with Jesus today, all of them with glorified bodies and sinless souls. We follow now a little further along in this genealogy of Seth in Genesis chapter 5. Enoch became the father of Methuselah. And then Methuselah lived 969 years, longer than any other man, all the way to the year of the flood. And then Methuselah became the father of Lamech, who became the father of Noah. Now we read verse 25 through 27. And Methuselah lived 187 years and became the father of Lamech. Then Methuselah lived 782 years after he became the father of Lamech, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. So then Methuselah, the father of Lamech, and Lamech the father of Noah, we read verse 28 and 29. Lamech lived 182 years and became the father of a son. Now he called his name Noah, saying, "This one shall give us rest from our work and from the toil of our hands arising from the ground, which the Lord has cursed." In verse 29, Lamech spoke as a prophet, and he prophesied of his son, whom he named Noah. And the name Noah means rest. It means comfort or consolation. And Lamech gave this name to his son because he believed that the promise of the Savior in the seed of the woman would be fulfilled in him or through him, and he would bring rest and comfort and consolation in salvation. Now we notice in Lamech's words here that he spoke of our work and the toil of our hands arising from the ground which the Lord has cursed. Where do those words come from? In toil of our hands arising from the ground which the Lord has cursed. Those words come directly from God's curse upon the ground which he spoke to Adam back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17. God said to Adam there, "Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you. And you shall eat the plants of the field by the sweat of your face. You shall eat bread." So Lamech's words here come directly from the Lord's words of curse back in the garden. Lamech was born 874 years after the creation, almost 900 years in the ninth generation from Adam. And almost 900 years later, Lamech knew the exact words that God had spoken to Adam in the curse in the garden. And so this shows us how carefully the events of the creation, the garden, the fall into sin were passed on through those early generations before the flood. If Lamech knew of the words of God from the curse, then surely he must have known of the words of God in the promise in the seed of the woman. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. Now we should note that at the time of Lamech's birth, Adam was still alive. Adam lived 930 years. Adam was still alive for 56 years after Lamech was born. It may have been that Adam and Lamech knew each other. Perhaps they worshiped together as men continued to call upon the name of the Lord. And perhaps Lamech heard the words of the curse and the words of the promise from his forefather Adam himself. However it happened, in the ninth generation from Adam, 900 plus years from the Garden of Eden, Lamech knew the precise words that were spoken in the garden. Another thing we note is that Enoch was Lamech's grandfather. And Enoch was still on the earth when Lamech was born, and Enoch was not taken up until Lamech was 113 years old. Enoch was God's prophet. He was Lamech's grandfather, and surely Lamech knew his grandfather. And surely he heard Enoch preach of the coming of the Lord with the many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all the ungodly. And so now, from Enoch forward, they have two great truths that they cling to. The promise of the seed of the woman who will crush the head of the serpent from the garden, and the prophecy of Enoch that the Lord will come with many thousands of his holy ones to bring judgment. It is a most remarkable thing that when Lamech was born, no one mentioned in this genealogy of the godly in Genesis chapter 5 had yet died. Adam was still alive. Seth was still alive. Enosh was still alive. And all the others, they were all still alive. And Enoch was still on the earth and had not yet been taken up. When we read through this genealogy, we come to chapter 5, verse 5, and we read, "So all the days of that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died." And we are left with the impression that Adam died back all the way back in verse 5. And so then as we come to the end of the chapter, Adam must have been dead for many years, for centuries. The same thing with Seth, the same thing with Enosh and all the rest. But it is not so. They were all alive at the time of Lamech. As far as the biblical record goes, the only men who had died were Abel, who was murdered by his own brother more than 800 years before, just after the creation. And the men that Lamech had murdered and boasted of. The only men, when Lamech was born, the only men who had died were men who were murdered. And no one had died, as far as we know, from the curse of death that had come into the world. It is possible that as Lamech grew up as a young boy into his adulthood, every Sabbath day he would go to the place of worship where the saints were gathered to call upon the name of the Lord. And there would be his forefather, Adam, who could tell them about all the creation and the beauty of the garden and the temptation of the devil and the fall into sin and the promise of the Savior and the curse upon the ground. And there was his grandfather, Enoch, the great prophet of the ancient world. And Enoch would speak the word of God to the people. Verse 28 tells us that Lamech was 182 years old when he became the father of Noah. Two critical things had happened in Lamech's life before the birth of Noah. The first was the death of Adam. Lamech was 56 years old. God had given his word in the garden in Genesis 2 and verse 17 to Adam, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it you shall surely die. Adam ate from that tree. He died spiritually on that day, but he did not die physically for another 930 years. And after the fall into sin, God spoke the curse to Adam in Genesis 3 and verse 19. And he said to Adam, "Till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." But those words had not yet come to pass in anyone of the Seth genealogy in Genesis chapter 5. And now, for the first time in the days of Lamech, Adam died, and there was the first funeral from the godly line. And for the first time, the terrible curse of death was seen as a man's body was laid in the ground. More than 9 centuries had passed, and God's word finally came to pass, "Till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." And Lamech surely knew of Adam's death, and may well have been a witness and a mourner to it as well. The second major event of Lamech's life before his son Noah was born was the taking up of his grandfather Enoch. He was 113 years old. And Lamech knew his grandfather and heard his grandfather's preaching. And then suddenly one day, Enoch was no longer to be found on the earth because the Lord had taken him up into heaven. And his ascension was proof to Lamech that there is life, eternal life after this world. And Enoch had entered that life and was at rest in heaven. So these two events press down on Lamech's soul: the death of Adam, the ascension of Enoch, and they lie behind the words of verse 29. There is a groaning from the soul of Enoch in the words of verse 29. He speaks of our work and the toil of our hands arising from the ground, which the Lord has cursed. By the time of Noah's birth, 10 generations had passed since the fall into sin. For 10 generations, More than 1,000 years, Noah was born in the year 1056 after the creation. For more than 1,000 years, men had labored. Men and women had labored in toil and sweat through thorns and thistles to eat their bread from the ground. And these men and women had lived for nearly 1,000 years, each of them under the burden of the curse. For us today, men reach 65 years or a little bit beyond, and they grow weary of their labor and they retire. What weariness must they have felt from the toil of their hands centuries after centuries for so many hundreds of years? But Lamech here was only 182 years old. He was a young man in comparison to so many around him. And yet as he looked around at his relatives and everything that he saw in them and everything that he had known from his own experience and everything that he anticipated in the future, all he could see was painful labor. And he groaned under the burden of it. But Lamech's groaning went much deeper than just the toil of his hands, because he spoke of the curse which the Lord had brought upon the earth. And he knew that the Lord's curse was because of sin, and the Lord's curse was death because of sin, and Adam had now died, and Seth died 20 years later. And Lamech began to see the curse that sin had brought in death in the human race. And every sorrow and every grief and pain and disease and suffering and death itself had its ultimate cause because of the Lord's curse upon the human race. And Lamech groaned as he saw the consequences of it. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 became more and more clear to Lamech. Therefore, through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. So death spread to all because all sinned. By the time we get to Noah's birth, the sin of the ungodly line of Cain was increasing until the time that it would prevail in Genesis chapter 6, when the earth was corrupt in the sight of God and the earth was filled with violence. Lamech was a godly man, a man of faith, but he groaned under the increasing sinfulness of the world and the pressure of the wicked that he saw around him. But while there was groaning in Lamech's words, there's also great hope. Because he believed in the promise of the seed of the woman, that one would come to destroy the devil's kingdom and his power. And he believed in the prophecy of his grandfather, that the Lord would come with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment on the earth and bring an end to sin. And so Lamech prophesied at the birth of his son, and his hopes, he stated, were to be, he thought, realized in his son. In verse 29, now he called his name Noah, saying, this one shall give us rest from the toil of our hands arising from the ground which the Lord has cursed. He spoke of the curse on the ground, by which he meant the entire curse that the Lord had brought in sin, sorrow, pain, guilt, and all the bitterness which sin brings into this world. And Lamech here made a confession of his faith. His hope, his faith was in another. This one, he said. This one. He is the one that will bring us rest from all of the curse which the Lord has brought. We cannot do it ourselves. But the seed of the woman and the Lord who is coming, He is the one who will bring us rest and comfort and consolation and peace. The groaning of Lamech under the curse is like the groaning of Romans chapter 8. And Paul says in Romans chapter 8, the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but because of Him who subjected it. And he says, for we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until not now. And Lamech is saying the same thing, the toil of our hands that is arising from the ground which the Lord has cursed. But the hope of Romans chapter 8 is in the Savior, that the creation itself will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. And that was Lamech's hope as well. This one who is coming, he is the one who will give us rest. He will bring us comfort. He will bring us consolation. And he will set us free from this slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Lamech spoke of rest in verse 29. He called his son's name Noah, which meant rest. And then he said, this one will give us rest. And Lamech knew of God's rest in the creation. When after the creation on the seventh day, God rested, and God rested, and He entered into His eternal rest. And God invited the human race to enter into His eternal rest with Him. And this is the rest that Lamech was speaking of here. This one shall bring us into God's eternal rest, which was His intention from the creation. Lamech was looking to the coming of Jesus in the new heavens and the new earth. Jesus spoke of the regeneration when the Son of Man will sit on His glorious throne, and that's what Lamech was looking to here as well. Peter, in Acts chapter 3 and verse 20, he spoke of the period of the restoration of all things, when all things that have been destroyed by sin shall be recovered. And that's what Lamech was looking to here as well. The rest he looked for would not come in Noah himself, but it would only come in Noah's future descendant, in the Savior. Noah and the ark that he built were only a foreshadowing of the great salvation of Jesus. And God would cleanse the earth of all of its wickedness by the waters of the flood, but He would preserve the human race through Noah and his three sons and their wives. We know the one that Lamech was looking to here, and He is Jesus, the Son of God. And we know everything that He accomplished for our salvation. His perfect righteousness, His blood that cleanses us from all of our sins, His resurrection, His ascension that gives us hope of eternal life. Jesus is the one that Lamech was looking to, and Jesus is the one, the only one who can give us rest. And He calls every man to come and take this rest. He says to the unconverted, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And He says to all believers as well, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. And He has begun to give us rest already in this life. in the rest of his salvation and his finished work, in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and in the consolation of all his promises. Peace, he says, I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. He has already begun to give us rest. And soon he will bring us into the eternal and everlasting rest, because he has gone to his Father's house in heaven, and he has promised, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Lamech could see only dimly from a great distance. We can see much more clearly through the gospel that this one will give us rest from all the Lord's curse upon this world, because he has taken that curse upon himself in his own death upon the cross. Only two prophets in this ancient world have their words recorded here in Genesis chapter 5, or recorded in Scripture: Enoch, who spoke of the Lord's coming, in Jude, and Lamech, who spoke of the Lord's coming, in verse 29. Enoch spoke of judgment to come. Lamech spoke of rest to come. And Jesus will bring both when he returns from heaven. He will bring judgment upon all the wicked who have not believed in him and obeyed his gospel. And he will bring eternal rest to all who have followed him and loved him at his appearing. Verse 30 and 31. Then Lamech lived 595 years after he became the father of Noah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died 5 years before the flood. Then in verse 32, Noah was 500 years old, and Noah became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Only three sons are mentioned here, because they alone with their wives would enter the ark with Noah, and the human race would be preserved through them. Throughout these 10 generations, the godly line from Adam through Seth to Noah, they believed in the word of the Lord. And all they had was the seed of the woman, the promise from the garden. And the Lord would come in judgment at the end. How little they had, but how much they rested and trusted in what they had. And it maintained their faith, and they called upon the name of the Lord, and they placed all their hope in these truths from God. They were calling upon the name of the Lord for the seed of the woman to come as the Savior, and for the Lord to come as Enoch had said. How much more revelation do we have in all the rest of the Bible? And we can call upon the Lord as well for him to come. Revelation chapter 22, the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let the one who hears say, Come. And Jesus says, Yes, I am coming quickly. Amen, John says, Come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, have great mercy upon us tonight. Use your word in our hearts to strengthen our faith. to open our eyes to wonderful things in your book, and to give us grace and strength by your Holy Spirit to walk in your ways and to be pleasing to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the blessing of your word, and be at work in us, we pray, for the honor and glory of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.